And that's a brand new Bible. It's a Don Stamp Study Bible called Life in the Spirit. I just got that from the evangelist. But Exodus 15:26, it goes Exodus, Deuteronomy, several in Deuteronomy, Joshua, Kings, Psalms, all down through Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Joel, Nahum, Malachi, and Matthew, and she just goes Mark, Luke, John, mm-hmm. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and she's gone through Hebrews, several in Hebrews, several in James, in Peter and John, and then finally into Revelations, and then even more over, and she goes and jumps into the Psalms and gives a whole lot of them in the Psalms. But as she's doing this, she said, this is my medicine. This is the only medicine she took because it was so urgent and because they were only had like 3 weeks to live. There was nothing. The doctor said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. So she didn't get chemo. She didn't get anything that was supposed to help. But they just trusted the Lord. And she said, actually, these scriptures were my medicine. And she said, to this day, and that was 30 years ago. And she says, to this day, I do not leave my house without first saying my scripture. She said, if I have a early flight out, I will get up earlier and I say my scriptures. It's just like you don't leave the house without taking your medicine. And so all these scriptures, she says, and so I have my purple Bible all marked with them so that I can just go through and read them and say, because I need a healing in my body too. But what does Jesus say about it? Yes and amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Is now a good time for prayer requests?
Would be a
Sister
good time.
Okay. It would be. So we have 4 prayer requests this morning, y'all. The first one is pray for Sarah Robinson as she is in step down ICU with an infection. And then pray for Chris Cannon. He is doing excellent, in the words of his wife, Casey. And then pray for Sharon Carter's bypass surgery today. And then there's one that came in on the Facebook page. Helen Parrish Smith.
That's my good friend.
Said, good to see you, Judy.
Good to see you.
Pray
Helen.
For Gary today.
Yes.
So we got that on the paper. So if you would please.
Okay. I want to, all right. Also my friend Reba, she's amazing. Her husband passed yesterday about 6. I'm talking to her on the phone last night and we talked and I knew she was going to be devastated, but she just had it so together. I'm like, girl, you amaze me. But you know what? It's called grace.
Yes.
It's called grace and strength when you need it the most. God is there. You think, I couldn't face anything like this. But when you're in the moment, you find that grace is available. Can I switch the order on these?
Yes, ma'am. You pray however you feel led.
I want to pray for Gary first. I haven't talked to you, Helen, and I don't know exactly what stage or where Gary is in this cancer, but I do want to encourage you that Neva has been standing for her husband who has the same thing. And his was the worst kind, but it was amazing. 20 years ago, it was just the same.
Yes.
And hadn't traveled anywhere. And when they had it checked again, it was just as aggressive as before, but this time it had come up into his lower bowels, I guess, up in that area. But I love how Neva does it. She's like, no. Mm-mm. No. God's promised me healing. And it amazes me how Neva's done it, you know. And they do Embratos and they do a lot of good food and good eating. But she's like, no. And so this guy's working 14 hours a day this week, she's saying. And he skied 85. Yes. He's 85 and he's skiing. And so what we just know that's God's mercies. But if he did it for Joe, why can't he do it for Gary?
Yeah.
He can. And the only time that we, in my opinion, that God doesn't, if we have faith to believe this, is if it's time for us to go home. and he wants us to go home where it's safe. And that's what we trust with Jose, that it was we just trusted in the, you know, that it was his time. I have seen a lot of life death situations where the person, God has sent them back, and they go, please don't send me back, please. One guy said, I promise I'll be good. I promise I won't be any trouble if you'll let me stay, Jesus. Please let me stay. And the Lord said, you've got to finish your work, and came back. But anyway, okay. Father, we just come to you today. First off, we're just thankful, Lord, that we have the opportunity to pray and that there's nothing impossible with you. Father, we just ask today, Lord, for your mercies and your grace to be upon every one of the ones this morning that we're going to pray for. And I want to pray for Gary first, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to come upon Gary. Father, I pray for a comfort and a peace. Father, I pray that you will just strengthen him. I pray that you will give him emotional strength, that you'll give him spiritual strength, that you will be right by his side, and that you will give him everything that he needs. Father, you never fail, God, and you're just as present there as you are anywhere around the world, Lord. For you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where two agree is touching anything, it will be done. So I pray for Gary. I ask for a total healing from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, that this cancer is arrested, it's stopped, that you give him long life, God, that you will touch him, that you will touch Helen, Lord, as she is caregiving, Lord. I just pray that you will strengthen her, touch her hip, touch her body, strengthen her, Lord. There's nothing, as I just said, impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for God. So, Lord, we bring Helen and Gary to you, and we just ask for a miracle. We ask for your presence, for your guidance, for your strength, for your power, and for your anointing in that situation. And for healing, God, we ask for total healing. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with Sarah as she's in ICU with this infection. Lord, that you just, your grace, Lord, will reach down and touch her, that you will bring healing to that, that they'll be able to help her, to give her the right medications. And Lord, that you will enhance it, and she will be up and about doing your business. I pray that your grace, Lord, I know it's sufficient, and I ask for you to help her. I pray for Chris, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that he's doing good, and we just praise you, Lord, for answering prayer. I pray for Sharon, God, and the bypass surgery that she's in today, that the doctors will do everything correctly, that there will be no mistakes made, that they, oh God, will be able, that her body will be able to handle the surgery, and that it will be a fix, the problem for her, God, and that you will add years to her life, Lord, and give her the touch of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, we pray. And I pray today, Lord, also for my cousin Tim, that you will take his pain, that you, oh God, will strengthen him and touch his body, heal him, I pray, Lord. And I just pray for his wife, that you will touch her life, God, and that you, Lord Jesus, will make the crooked things straight. We just trust you, God. I pray for Reba, that today you will give her grace and strength and guidance as they walk through this journey, Lord, of loss. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Refuge Church at New Liberty, located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. We all have guidelines that we live by. These guidelines are protective. They're essential to a truly productive life. They not only give you increase on the outside, they bring you security on the inside. When the guidelines are established is important. You don't want to establish them in the journey, but before you begin, how you start will be an indicator of where you will end.
From all of us here at PK & Company, great job, Barbara Dyson Ford, on your 5th President's Award. Thank you for your loyalty to our community.
This is Curtis Hutchinson. All of us here at Hutchinson Oil congratulate Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award. You deserve it.
Chad Smith here with Smith Ag. Congrats to Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award for your amazing customer service.
We want to thank all of you, our customers, as we celebrate this prestigious award. Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour Power this morning. Our guest for today is our very own gorgeous sister, Judy Gifford.
I'm going to come here a lot more often.
Her title for today is Promises. Well, I promise every time you come here, I will call you beautiful or gorgeous because that's what you are in my eyes. So we did have one more prayer request come in. And if you don't mind, I would like to
pray.
I want to pray for this one.
Okay.
And I just would really like for y'all to put yourself in agreement with me, put your faith
Amen.
With mine.
That's good.
Because this is someone who is so dear to my heart. It's my pops, Jim Myers in Texas. He's going to the doctor today for some test results. So, Father God, I approach your throne boldly as your daughter. Your word says, ask. Knock. Lord God, you know what Jim means to our family. And I know what he means to you. He is loved. So in the name of Jesus, we bring you the situation, the circumstance. Lord, I don't know. We don't know what the test results are going to say. We don't know what they're going to see. But I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your word, and no matter what the doctors say and no matter what the reports say,
Amen.
I give it to you.
Amen.
And I put it in you, Lord, because your son Jesus, his name Amen. Is the name above every name. So in the name of Jesus,
yes,
I ask for good results.
Amen. Yes.
And I ask that you robe him, put your cloak of comfort on him so that he can physically feel your presence and walk in there with peace. I know he's nervous and unsure. But Lord, just cloak him.
Yes.
With your comfort and your peace, knowing that your name is above every name. And we just speak in the name of Jesus, we speak peace and comfort, and we plead the blood over him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Are we ready to go?
It's all you, sister.
We just have a few minutes left, and we keep to the time limit. I just wanted to read some scriptures. I'm saying if you have a need and someone has a need, go through the scriptures and grab one that fits your situation and write their name on it. I've seen God heal my children. I did that when they were little. The Lord healed Brad of a hernia. And I took scripture, and I can look at that old Bible, and I've got Brad's name written on it. I went through, and I write Brent over here and Brad over here and just claimed those. And I've seen God do a lot of miraculous things in their life. And Brent particularly has picked it up. Well, another thing God did for Brad was healed his hands. He had 24 warts, 25 warts on his hands. And we took him to a meeting with us when we were pastors in Colorado. Took him to Denver with us to a minister's meeting, and he wanted to be prayed for. And we were actually going to try to slip out early so we could go eat with these friends, you know, before the afternoon session. And anyway, I said, I can't deny this child being prayed for. So we canceled our dinner engagement, didn't show. And we went down front and prayed and let him pray. And when they were getting ready to pray for him, we were like the last ones in line. I told the Lord, Lord, I don't think I have faith for this. But this child does. So would you honor his faith, Lord? I didn't pay attention to his hands. We went ahead and went through the day. And when we woke up the next morning, he came running to me and showing me that there was not a wart left on his hands. The Lord had totally healed his hands. But I think we can, in this stage in life, for me, I'm 75. So I've seen it, done it. Bought the t-shirt for so many things in life. And it's easy to, it should be right the opposite, to where we've seen everything tested, we've seen God work. So now we have no doubt. But I think sometimes because of all the changes that have happened in our life, sometimes we've seen God do things, and then other times it's why didn't you do it, God? Why didn't, and we don't understand. But I think we need to go back and say, okay, God, I'm grabbing this word, and we're going to hang on. And until I hear you say no, it's not my plan. I'm hanging on, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to trust you for it. So this one is in Genesis 28:15, a promise to someone many, 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 many years ago. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And this one in Deuteronomy says, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore the Lord thy God is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant, and mercies with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Wow. I think I said recently third generation. Or his promises go, but to 1,000 generations. That he will, there's a little song we sing in church, to your children and your children and your children and their children and their children. And those promises are true. So God is faithful. The scripture also says he watches over his word to perform it. I think he looks at people's and their prayer. Are they believing my word? Are they grasping my word? And when they are, it just says here that he keeps covenant. So he keeps covenant's a promise. Covenant's a covenant. I don't know how to really explain it, but it's a covenant. There was the old covenant and there's the new covenant. And the Old Testament, and we call it Testament, New Testament. And this Bible says they're on better promises. And some of those great promises is promised us the salvation. And here's how it works. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. That's a promise. It's come this way. How do you come to the Lord? Another way it says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It didn't just say seek him. It said diligently seek him. And over in Jeremiah 33:3, No, this is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will search for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So the Bible also says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So see, when we have a heart for God, we have a heart for seeking him, we have a heart for getting in his word, he says, come on, baby, here are the promises. They're right here. So you just say, it says, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Psalms, this is the one of them I wanted to talk about. Is Psalms 37 is one I heard a preacher talk about when I was a teenager. And I just believed it. It says, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. And this is talking about the evil people. And it's real hard if you watch TV and you hear what's going on right now to not fret over evil people and what they're doing, because they're having a heyday right now. But it says, here's what we're to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Listen to this. You can't get this at Walmart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. These are promises. And it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Then here's the promise. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. You don't have to go around trying to justify yourself. If somebody's accused you of something, or if you've done something, you don't have to go around trying to justify yourself. You just say, Lord, I commit it to you. There's another one that says, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou wilt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So it's thou wilt condemn, and maybe I can say, you know what, that's not true, and God's going to justify me. I already figured out, when you're in any kind of a position like you are here, you're doing something for the Lord here, the devil will take his pot shots. And he'll find a way to take his pot shots. And usually through people who don't have a clue what they're doing to you. Just like I was telling you about with my situation. They don't know what they're doing to you. They don't know that's been a long-standing running, a little sore. And they're taking it. And they're being used by the enemy, and they don't realize that. But here's the scripture you jump to. No weapon formed against me will prosper. None. No weapon formed against me will prosper. God, you said it, so I trust in you. And then Psalms 37, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. This one says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, or when they carry out their wicked schemes. Boy, I tell you what. And I'm studying a deal in Andrew Womack, and he even says political people are not okay to shoot at either. We are to watch our mouth and be careful how we talk about them. Because Jesus loves them too, and that somehow we open a door to the enemy when we start mouthing about people. It's really hard not to do it at times, particularly in traffic, but you know, people, but it's really hard. Well, actually, one time it was cute. We were on our way to Oklahoma City, and we were taking evangelists to the airport, and this truck just literally started coming, moving over in our lane, and we're still there in our lane, and Thilbert had to move over to that extra little piece of pavement that they put there, and to not get hit by the semi, and so he moved over, but the evangelist in the front seat, and the evangelist, it startled him, it scared him, and the first word out of his mouth, he yelled, idiot, and he was talking to the trucker. And then immediately he felt bad because he had said that. And he started profusely apologizing. He's going, oh, I'm so sorry. I just, brother and sister, please forgive me. I'm just so sorry. And I don't talk that way normally, you know, and he's just going on. And my husband said, no worries. He said, when my wife drives, the idiots come out too. And so he turned to me. I'm in the back seat, mind you. I've said not a word. I'm just sitting there. And so this evangelist turned to me, and he pointed his finger at me, and he said, "Sister, you have to be careful with that, because that's akin to calling somebody a fool. And the Bible says if you call them a fool, you're in danger of hell fire." And I'm going, "I didn't do it." I didn't do nothing. But I just said, I didn't say anything. I said, "Okay, you know, whatever." He said, "Don't call people idiots." I'm like, "He's the one that done it, not me." But anyway, we do need to be careful of the words of our mouth and not let our own words be a weapon against us. Because sometimes our own words can be a weapon against us. You know what they said to me, those idiots? And, you know, and look, and before a note, we can use it against ourselves. And we can. Someone told me recently that they heard someone telling their kid what a stupid kid they were. Why couldn't they ever learn? They've been told this so many times. "You're just stupid. Why can't you get this?" And I'll tell you what, bad, bad deal. Let me tell you a cute thing that happened this week. I have a little bitty 4-year-old grandson, and Brent's two little bitty kids. Well, during the revival, the first night of revival, after everybody prayed, he said, "Get in twos and threes and pray." So I'm sitting down, and here comes Eli, Elizabeth, and Kira. And so they all come, and Kira gets right here between my legs, and Elizabeth jumps on this leg, and I'm praying for them. And Kira's in the presence of the Lord. You can feel the presence of the Lord. And those little children respond to the presence of the Lord. And so Kira started crying. And I'm saying things like, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, we worship you. We love you, Jesus." And I'm just talking like that, you know. And Elizabeth has her little hands up like this. And she'll look, see who's looking at her. And then she'll, you know, but... And then here came Eli, and he pushed through the people. I had my eyes open and watched him. He came, and he came between the two girls, between my legs, and he turned around and backed up into me. And so I just put my arms around all of them, and I just started praying, "Oh, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, forgive all my sins. Lord, live in my heart. Come live in me, Jesus." And just, you know, things that they could think and pray for them. And when it was all, and he just teared, and I'm like, "Eli is," and I looked at Alyssa and go, and she goes, and and Eli was just weeping. And afterwards, he told his daddy, "I'm going to be a good boy now." So he understood. He understood that he was giving his heart to Jesus, that he felt Jesus in his heart. And how sweet, but how important are the words we speak to those little ones in the classroom, teachers, in the Sunday school classroom, Sunday school teacher, in your home, mama, in your car, when you get exasperated. One lady said this to her son as a true story, and she has said, "I hate you. Get out of this house. I hope you never come back." And he was hit. He went to school, did school, went to a friend's. They were playing with a gun. And he accidentally shot himself. And he was laying in a coma for weeks. And the preacher that had come, buried this young man 2 days before the revival started. And the parents were just, "Why didn't God answer our prayers? We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed for weeks." And he didn't. And so he said, "So I took him out to eat because I wanted to find out what the problem was. Because God does answer prayer. He has seen 3 or 4 people raised from the dead. He's seen his wife and his son and some other people raised." So he said, "I took him out to eat to try to find out what the problem was." And then I found out that the parents were getting ready to get a divorce. There'd been hate, strife, ugly words said. And then she got into a fight with this kid, this teenage boy, and said, "I hate you. I hope you never come back in this house again." And he didn't. And I'm going, how important are our words? How powerful are our words? Instead of spouting off in our anger, let's get the promises of God. Mm-hmm. She should have said, "Boy, I love you, but you're driving me up a tree, so I'm going to pray for you. You get to school and act like somebody today. Don't go acting crazy." You know, I heard parents say, "Remember who you are. Remember who you belong to. We're Jesus's kid today, and you're my kid. Now let's get out there and let's act like. It's act like, no, I wouldn't say act like a Gifford because they're ornery, but, you know, act like a, act like you're my son, you know, and we can speak life or we can speak death, and we can speak God's promises or we can forget them, and we can whine and we can get into depression, or we can speak God's promises. And I found out that even in great loss, you can have a joy.
Yes.
If you're walking with Jesus, he can give you just the peace. The Bible says it passes understanding, which means people go, how can she be? I was talking with Reba last night. She was laughing. She just lost her husband. But we're going, I said, as much as I'm whining tonight, I sound like the one who's lost the husband instead of you. She was just so, you know, so together. And I'm not saying you have to, that everybody should be that way. I'm just saying what God's grace can do for us when we learn to pick up the word and say, here's what Job did. Though God slay me, I will trust him. And his wife said, oh man, curse God and die. She had just lost her 10 children. She had just lost all her wealth, just like he did. But she couldn't handle the pressure of it. And he said, woman, you speak as a foolish woman. If we receive good from the hand of the Lord, shall we not receive evil? And that was, and then he made this statement, which I love. Those skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I will see God. The faith to know. You know what? I covered those kids. I prayed for those people. He would get up and make sacrifices every day for his sons and daughters in case they would have sinned against God in their heart. So I think those kids were in heaven. I think God didn't take them, but he didn't keep the devil from taking that from him. When it came to Job's life, he goes, no, you can't go any further. You can't touch his life. You can touch his body, finally, but you can't take his life. So realize this, God will not allow you more than you can bear. And if it seems more than you can bear, hit your knees and call out to him and say, Lord, it seems to me that I can't go any further until I have a touch from you. And we used to sing this old song that goes like this, just to have a touch, Lord, from you, to help with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, it brings a ray of light when I have a touch, Lord, from you. Mm-hmm. And then that old song that says, he touched me, he touched me. Oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me and he made me whole. I could not be sitting here before you today if time after time after time he hadn't touched me. And one day, I'm going to walk through those gates, and I'm going to fall at his feet, and I'm going to say, thank you for touching me. And that's why we're going to throw our crowns at Jesus' feet, because we're going to know we had really nothing to do with it. All we did is believe him. All we did is do what he said do, because he did everything. He made the way. He purchased our salvation. He gave us all these promises. This is the way, walk ye in it. He came and corrected us when we needed it. He came and showed us the way. And we're going to, that crown, when we get it, we're going to take it off and we're going to lay at his feet. Now, Mark Lowry says, I hope he gets a big enough crown for my big head and knows how big my head is. And I kind of wanted to wear the crown a few minutes before I threw it in. Human thinking. But whatever, if we have a touch from him, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through those pearly gates. And you know what? I told Reba last night, Jose's not sorry he's there. Mm-mm. I've never heard of anybody that's had a life-death experience and came back that wanted to, except one. And she knew, when God asked her, do you want to stay or do you want to go back? And she said, I remembered I had a 6-year-old daughter that I wanted to raise. She was just 27 years old. And she said, well, I want to stay and sing for a while, because she had a real high, beautiful voice singing with the angels. And she said, in real life, I had a real low boy's voice. So I was really enjoying singing with the angels. And she said, but immediately I was on my descent back into my body. And God totally raised her up, totally healed her. One of the things about that story I love is when she was in the throne room of God, she heard her dad pray a prayer and she heard his voice. He had walked up to the end of her bed not knowing that she had died. He walked in the back way. Nobody had warned him. All the sheet was over her head and all the equipment was gone. And he grabbed the end of the bed. I said the end of the beds at that time. And she he starts saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it registered in heaven as light. She saw it. She saw the words in light. And then she heard the voice. Mm. It was her dad's. And I'm like, you mean God hears our voice? I knew he comprehended our prayer, but he actually hears our voice. Wow. We got a lot of hope. See, we're okay. If we live, we're okay. If we die, we're okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. When we get there, we're not going to go, man, I came 5 minutes too soon. No, mm-hmm. we're gonna be like, wow. Oh, and like there's a joke that says a man looks at his wife and goes, if you hadn't have fed me all that health food, I'd been here 10 years sooner. Bible says, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'm sorry I went long.
Oh, you're good, Sister Judy. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our very own gorgeous sister, Judy Gifford. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.